The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
For a believer considering marriage, does God have only one specific person for you to marry? How would you find that one person and be sure of it? How are we supposed to make these major decisions in life? Let's talk about it today on Grace in Focus. Thank you, friend, for joining us. This is a ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. We exist to promote a focused free grace message. Our office is in North Texas, and we'd love for you to get to know us better by going to our website, faithalone.org. There we have a store. You can find our President CEO, Bob Wilkins' latest book there, The Gospel is Still Under Siege, faithalone.org. We'd also love for you to subscribe to our Grace Evangelical Society YouTube channel so that you can view our short videos produced multiple times per week. Now let's get on with our question and answer topic for the day about marriage. And to do so, here are Bob Wilkin and Mike Lee.
So Mike, I did a video this week. Toward the end of the video, I was talking about Gary Friesen's book, Decision Making in the Will of God. That is a question that comes up all the time about marriage.
Right. I guess in terms of life decisions, what bigger decision there is than who to marry? And I remember when I was young, it was really popular among us single guys to always say, hey, have you met the one? Do you think she's the one? As in, God has only one person that we're to marry. And if you don't find and marry this person, the rest of your life is doomed.
Yeah, Gary Friesen called this the dot. God has a specific will for the person for you to marry, the job you're supposed to take, the house you're supposed to buy, the car you're supposed to buy, what clothes you wear, etc., right down to all the minute details of life.
Yeah, where are we going to live, job, money?
Yeah, what city, what state, what country? So for today, I thought, and you thought, it would be a good idea to discuss this question of, is there only one person that God has for us to marry?
I think that'd be really good, because I know my young people are also wondering that today.
Yeah, and you're funny. You say, when I was young, you're still young. You just turned 53?
Yep, 53 this week.
To be 53 again is all I can say. Okay, well, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 39. Because I think this verse is a much overlooked verse, and I think this tells us a lot, not just about the question of marriage, but about this dot idea that God has some specific will for us regarding all kinds of minor details, or even major details.
A wife is bound by law as long as her husband lives, but if her husband dies, she is at liberty to be married to whom she wishes, only in the Lord.
Okay, now notice what Paul says here. If the woman is married and her husband dies, she's now free to remarry who?
Whom she wishes.
Yeah, as long as they are in the Lord, meaning as long as they're a fellow believer. So the principle here is that the widow can marry any that's a fellow believer, and she just picks.
Right.
He doesn't say, if she wishes to remarry, let her pray about it, and God will tell her who her second perfect spouse is.
Yeah. Or when you meet that one person, you'll know.
Right.
You'll get this special feeling of inner peace or some sort of burning that, you know, I feel this way with no other person.
Right. Right.
What we see in the movies or something
right.
like that.
And by the way, that feeling often is some sort of physical attraction to someone. And it leads to lots of divorces because people end up getting married not based on wisdom, not based on the two of us are compatible, but just I've got some kind of attraction to the person. And of course, the worst example of that is when a believer marries an unbeliever.
Correct.
Because we're to marry only in the Lord, 1 Corinthians 7:39.
Yeah.
And the fact that you're attracted to an unbeliever does not mean that's God's will for you. Does not mean that's the one.
Yeah.
And
I mean, this goes back to, like, where do we discover God's will? We discover it in His Word, not in our feelings, but its Word tells us what is God's will for us.
Yeah. In fact, in this video that it should come out, well, by the time this show airs, it'll be a couple months ago. But in the video, I talk about there's a tremendous amount of uncertainty in the Christian life. And what I meant by that is this. we know all of the positive and negative commands of Scripture. So we know, for example, that being a hitman is not a job that is within the will of God. We know that being a prostitute or being a pimp is not something in the will of God. That's out of bounds. That's something that God is not pleased with, and he will judge us if we're doing these kinds of things. Same thing with being a drug dealer or all kinds of different things. And we know, for example, that there are lots of jobs that are fine. They're in bounds. But we don't know in Scripture whether, for example, you, Mike, would be better as an attorney, or would you be better as a doctor, or would you be better as a pastor, or would you be better as a missionary? Where can you most glorify God? And do you stay in the same career your whole life?
Just jumping in here to make you aware of our magazine, Grace in Focus. It is a bi-monthly, 6 issues per year, 48-page magazine, full color. And we want you to subscribe by emailing your name and your snail mail address to ges@faithalone.org. The subscription is free. It can be accessed electronically, or it can be actually physically sent to you if you live in the lower 48 United States. That's our Grace in Focus magazine. Send your name and snail mail address to ges@faithalone.org.
I've written an autobiography called His Hidden Hand. It's not gone anywhere. I'm still not satisfied with it. But one of the things I point out is I look back on my life, I can see that God was working behind the scenes to move me in certain directions. I made the choices, but God was involved in kind of changing circumstances, changing my desires and things, and all kinds of things led me to ultimately starting Grace Evangelical Society and then leaving Multnomah School of the Bible in order to go full-time with Grace Evangelical Society, and then lots of different issues over the years with Grace Evangelical Society have kind of shaped me and molded me. And I look at all that and I'm like, well, I made the decisions, but yet God was involved. And I remember I taught for a year at Multnomah, and Gary Friesen was a fellow faculty member. And I talked to him about this, and he said, you know, we can look back in hindsight and say, it seems like God was working to move us in a certain direction. But at the time it happens, we don't know if this is simply our desires or simply some kind of idea. We just make the best decisions we can to please God. And then sometimes we look back and we can go, yeah, I can see the hand of God in that.
Yeah, no, I certainly know that's true for my life. I think instead of uncertainty or ambiguity, I like the way Zane put it in his message. God's given us a lot of freedom to make choices,
yes,
you know, within the bounds of Scripture and guidelines. And, you know, I know for, even for myself, like moving here to Dallas, it wasn't that God said, you have to go to Dallas. It was like, well, after law school, there was job opportunities in Dallas. I did want to go back to Dallas because, you know, I wanted to be part of Victor Street Bible Chapel here. And at that time, and, you know, I wanted to be back with my friends that I knew in Dallas, and that was my wishes. But I think it was also permissible if I wanted to stay in San Francisco. But,
right,
you know, again, I think God honored a decision that was when to come down here, and the opportunities I've had today, looking back, is like, oh, you know, it was somewhat of a result of that decision back then.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, the idea that somehow when we marry that we're looking for the perfect person is so dangerous because it's paralyzing.
Right.
And I remember I held that view when I got married, like, you know, you talked about you did. And I ultimately had to kind of suspend that and go, you know what? I'm just making the best decision I can. Sharon felt the same way. She's making the best decision she can. And we're moving forward with this. And so we went ahead and we got married. And we've had, you know, almost 50 years of marriage, 48 years and counting. And the thing about it is, there have been lots of great years, and there's been lots of turmoil. We've had lots of problems and issues caused by external circumstances or by our own backgrounds. But because we're both committed to the Lord and we're committed to each other, well, we've weathered a lot of storms along the way. And I don't think anybody's been married for any length of time that hasn't had lots of trials and storms and things in their marriage. what differentiates the marriages that make it and the ones that don't oftentimes is because both people maintain their love for the Lord and their love for each other in spite of all of the temptations to throw in the towel, right?
Right.
And so, you know, the idea that there's actually a theology out there that says if you're married to the wrong person and you meet the right person, you should divorce that wrong person and now marry the right person.
Yeah, no, I know for myself, I actually didn't go into marriage that way. I didn't think that Letitia was the one.
Oh, you didn't? Okay.
No, that was basically being circulated by friends of mine.
Oh, okay.
But my perspective was, no, again, it was in the sense of, Bill, I knew I was supposed to marry a believer. There was a choice, but I thought Letitia would be a very good match based on our experiences together. But I think going into the marriage, I think it's very healthy for people to go, look, once you do get married, then that person becomes the one. That's what I remember hearing from Zane.
I like that.
Yeah. There isn't this person that is one, but once you do marry, the scripture is clear. You're to try to stay married to that person. And if you have two people who go into a marriage saying, we're here to make this work, no matter what trials and troubles come, I think that's the recipe for a successful marriage.
I like that. It's really true. And to me, that should be true whatever we do.
You're right.
If we
right.
take a job, there's not a perfect job out there.
Yeah.
We're going to have to weather trials and difficulties there.
Yeah. Whatever church you choose to go to.
It's not perfect.
Right. It's not perfect. But if I'm here to make it work, to help this church in whatever way I can, I think that's the right perspective. And I think even for people like, well, I can't move. It's like, well, no, I think you have freedom to move. If you're moving for the right reasons so that you could attend a certain church, I think God will honor that. I think God will provide a job or provide a way for you to survive. You know, I know a lot of people say, no, I can't move because I can't find work in that area. And that could be possible, but it's also possible that God can make a way as long as you want it for godly reasons.
Ultimately, I like that word freedom you're talking about with Zane Hodges. We have tremendous freedom in the Christian life as long as what we're thinking about is in bounds. It's not something forbidden by God. Then we know that the question is, where can we best glorify God? And we make choices within the freedom we have. And we leave the results up to God. We live for Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit, and we leave the results to God. So we don't know every choice we make is best, but if we're choosing between good, better, and best, then the chances are we're going to do things which are pleasing to Him.
Mm-hmm.
And one day we'll hear, well done, good and faithful servant, which is our aim.
Very good.
Well, thanks, and
keep grace
in
focus.
Amen.
Be sure to check out our daily blogs at faithalone.org. They are short and full of great teaching, just like what you've heard today. Find them at faithalone.org/resources/blog. We would love to hear from you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or some feedback. If you do, please don't hesitate to send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. And when you do, very important, please let us know your radio station call letters and the city of your location. On our next episode, we talk about the Tree of Life in the Garden of Eden, and it will also be in the New Jerusalem. Please join us. In the meantime, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.